This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mike Dettillier, who is now on the phone. Mike, let's start right here, Mike, because I got to give you credit. You joined us 2 weeks ago, and you just straight up, we were talking about quarterbacks and possibilities right there at the Saints draft slot, and you shook your head and you shook your finger to us and said, they're drafting an offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks, who is somebody that the Falcons scouted out, ends up with the New Orleans Saints. Your thoughts on that pick and what kind of value you got there with Kelvin Banks inside the top 10?
Yeah, and just listening to the words of Kellen Moore and even Mickey Loomis, general manager, they wanted to build from the inside out and trying to build the offensive line first. And I think about, you know, Kellen with his most success, it was with the Cowboys back then. Their offensive line was really good. And then last year with the Eagles, they have the best offensive line in pro football today. So it didn't come as a surprise to me that it would be Kelvin Banks. And Kelvin, you know, he has started at left tackle since his sophomore year of high school. He's missed one game, and that was as a sophomore. And so I got a chance to get Archie Manning on Sports Talk with me, and he made the comment that Little Arch told him, I think he told me it was late October of last year. He says, Kelvin Banks Jr. is the best football player on this Texas team.
Wow.
And the best leader we have. That tells you a lot, if Archie is going to say that. So, I thought he was a guy that they had an opportunity. He could potentially be there. And really, I thought it would either come down to him or Jalen Walker, the linebacker from University of Georgia. Both of them were still available, and they ended up with Banks.
Well, we are talking with college football and NFL draft analyst and co-host on Sports Radio WWL in Louisiana, Mike Dettillier. And Mike, what do you think it was that the Saints liked about Tyler Shough's game?
I think that they felt his maturity, his focus. Now, he can spin it now. He came to Manning Passing Academy. I live about 15 minutes away from Nichols State where they have it. And I joked with him when we had him on. I saw him twice. He was at Texas Tech, and then he was at Louisville. I didn't catch him at Oregon when he was there, but I caught him two other times. And, you know, he's a big guy. He's got a really strong arm. He's accurate. He's had some bad luck with bone breaks, collarbone, and broken femur. But we saw last year he has a total control of the game, very focused, and, again, a very mature young man. And I think Kellen Moore felt there's a strong chance he's going to have to play this year. It's not one of these redshirt years. He's going to have to play. So with Tyler Shough, I think you got somebody. He's 25, going to be 26 in September. My thing with the Saints is if you've got your left tackle and your quarterback for the next 10 years, you hit a home run in this draft. Now, I say if, but Tyler Shough's a guy I knew they liked quite a bit.
Well, you know, Mike, I think the thing for me is everybody had Carolina and the Saints going defense and in that first round, and you mentioned that it was between Jalen Walker and Kelvin Banks Jr. What was the – the deciding, why did they go against Jalen Walker? What went against Jalen Walker for the Saints not picking him over Banks? I understand all of the great things you said about Banks, but the other thing you can get is moving forward with the edge rusher. Cameron Jordan's getting a little bit older. I mean, why do you think they didn't pick Jalen Walker?
Yeah, it's a good question because Deuce McAllister and I, we both thought it would be Jalen Because actually, I will be honest with you. I thought he was going to Carolina. Every indication and everything I had heard was that Walker was going to Carolina. Made a lot of sense. Their general manager is Dan Morgan, a former linebacker. And just his versatility, because of the fact he's a two-down linebacker, and then on third down, you can have him rush your quarterback. I think for the Saints, it kind of goes back to the Greeks settled this years ago. If I got a chance to pick a really talented big man or a really talented smaller guy, I go with the big man. And I think they came down to the fact that I think they wanted to rebuild in the trenches, rebuild up front along their offensive line. And nothing against Walker, because I know coaches that were at Georgia and at Georgia and have worked with Jalen. I've never heard one negative thing about Walker. Not a one.
Yeah.
But I think it just came down to the fact that they wanted to try to rebuild their offensive line, which they've tried to do. They just haven't picked the right persons to rebuild, because they've used draft choice after draft choice on offensive linemen. Still, it's a question mark on this football team. And I think Moore felt strongly that after what he saw in Philly, that he wanted that type of setup here in New Orleans. So they went with the bigger man and Kelvin Banks over Jalen Walker. But you couldn't have went wrong either way, yeah. Believe me.
Hanging out with our good buddy, NFL draft analyst and co-host from WWL Louisiana, Mike Dettillier. And, Mike, there was, you know, that situation where we thought you guys would take Jalen Walker. He didn't. He slides down all the way to 15, and the Falcons select him. There's another guy that I think that these two teams possibly could have been competing for, and it's back in the end of the third round, and that's Jonas Sanker. Jonas Sanker, you guys drafted him 93 overall. The Falcons ended up taking Xavier Watts three picks later, the safety out of Notre Dame. But Jonas Sanker's a guy that came on a top 30 visit to Atlanta. We talked about him, just a few weeks back about coming to Atlanta and coming on that top 30 visit. What have you heard about Jonas Sanker? I think we're still excited about Xavier Watts and what he brings to the table, but there's no doubt in my mind the Falcons had a lot of love for Jonas Sanker.
Jonas, and having scouted him, I just see a real intelligent football player. Come on, he could have went to Ivy League schools, and his brother's at Princeton. Okay, you're not getting into there with an expired driver's license. You've got to be a smart guy. It's his ability to process information. He was the leader on that team at Virginia defensively, made all the calls, and always look for a chirper in the secondary. Somebody that can, he knows what to do, but he's telling everybody else what to do. That Xavier Watts did at Notre Dame and Jonas did at Virginia. His aggressiveness, last 2 years, he's had like 200 tackles at Virginia. So they used him a lot up front, almost like an extra linebacker. Now, he's going to need some work in the coverage part of the game. He's a little bit of a guesser as far as taking some angles to the football. I always think you can get better doing that. But they put a lot on Jonas Sanker's plate. The same thing with Watts. Notre Dame put a lot on the plate of Xavier Watts. When you're back there and you're sort of controlling things in the secondary, but what I see with Jonas, instantly he helps you on special teams. And secondly, as he kind of progresses into the NFL, you see a guy in Brandon Staley's defense that's going to be given a lot of responsibilities to not only match up in the coverage part of the game, but to stop the run. The Saints been El Succo for 2 years stopping the run. Last year, they gave up almost 5 yards a pop running the football. And that was something right off the bat with Kellen Moore. He talked to us about that, you know, if we don't stop the run, we in trouble because teams are not going to stop that. They're not going to stop running the football if you're giving up 5 yards a rush. So Sanker is a highly intelligent young man, And I think he'll certainly help out, one, right off the bat on special teams. And secondly, I think in time have a shot to be a starter at safety. And Tyrann Mathieu is not getting any younger. And Tyrann, God bless him. He was a great player, but Father Time presses everybody's button.
Mike Dettillier joining us here on the Morning Shift. Now, Mike, a few years back when you guys traded up for Marcus Davenport, us Falcons, you know, fans and people that work around the team were kind of laughing because we didn't really understand it. And I know that you would never laugh. You're a true professional. I know that, and I love having you on. But what did you think when you saw the Falcons trading what many think was a lot to get back in the first round to get James Pierce? Or do you just love James Pierce? You think you're high on him?
It was similar to the way I felt about Davenport. That's a lot to give up. And I watched James Pierce at Tennessee. He's a first-round pick player. Just watching him play out on the field, he's a first-round pick guy. Now, I also know the other part. And having talked to players and coaches at Tennessee, you know, he sort of dances to the beat of his own drum. And he's got a different personality. And I knew he wasn't for everybody. I had a couple friends of mine in the league tell me that they sort of dropped him. They did not feel as though he was the right fit for them. And I'm always about, you got to love football and you got to come focused. And at times on the field, James Pierce is that. But at other times off the field and his interaction with coaches and teammates, he don't get an A in that. But put him on the field, he can flat out play. So it's pushing the right buttons, and hopefully for Atlanta is some maturity with James. Understanding, okay, you're not on scholarship anymore. You're a professional. You're going to have to act like one all the time. But, you know, it was a huge gamble, and it reminded me a lot of when Sean Payton sort of fell in love with Marcus Davenport, who was a little bit of a project, a little bit sort of different type players when they both got drafted. James Pierce Jr. is a much more refined player for the NFL than Marcus Davenport was when he came in. Now, when Marcus wasn't hurt, he was a man out there on that football field. You didn't want to mess with him. But he's had all kind of difficulties staying healthy at the NFL level. And similar to Pierce, you had to be able to press the right buttons to get the very most out of him. When he was motivated and ready, he was something else. But that wasn't always the case. That's why a guy who has barely hit the field for the last 2 years still gets another contract to play for Detroit and Dan Campbell. You wouldn't think that he's Campbell's type of guy, but yet Dan sees the talent in him. And it's the same way with Atlanta. It don't take you long to figure out James Pierce Jr. can play. It's stuff away from the game and away from the field itself that sort of bothers you when you hear it constantly from people that have interacted or been around him at University of Tennessee.
Mike Dettillier joining us, man. Mike, we always appreciate your time, brother. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks a lot. Y'all take care.